Hi, folks. Welcome back to another episode of Be Unapologetically You Radio. I am currently sitting in my closet to record this for you because I forgot I needed to record an intro for you. So just like people with YouTube videos, podcasters sometimes do struggle with their intro and outros. But this is one of my favorite episodes. I am so excited to bring this to you. It's all about yoga. Is it something like dating? Is there places you can get information? Where should beginners start? Did you know that yoga has a mental and physical part to it? So it's got all things yoga and is including one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, Sabrina Bonanido. And she currently lives up in New York, but I'm so excited for her to tell her story and give you all this information on yoga because I know so many of you are dying to have this information and it's going to serve you so well. So I'm going to quit holding up and let's dig into this episode.
Hello. And I have my wonderful friend Sabrina here on the Be Unapologetically You podcast. I'm so excited to have you.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. This is awesome.
I know.
First podcast experience ever.
Yay. Well, I'm so glad that you're doing it with me, and all of our listeners are going to so love everything you have to share today.
Oh, good.
Yay. Awesome. So tell us a little bit about you for those that don't follow you or know what you do. So give us a little spill.
Okay. So obviously my name is Sabrina. I am 22 years old and I'm a recent college graduate. I actually just graduated with my degree in psychology from a college in upstate New York where I currently live. And although I'm happy that I got my degree in psychology and it was awesome, I kind of found my purpose that was outside of the institution while I was in school, and that was teaching yoga. So that's what I do pretty much full time now, which is crazy to say because it just kind of started out as a 1 week thing to do, and now I'm literally doing it almost every single day. And so I teach yoga. I got into yoga when I was a kid, which we can probably get into that later. And it's just been something that has dramatically changed my life. And I just want to give that to other people.
Ooh. So yes, let's talk about how you got into yoga because I want to hear this.
Yeah. So I was around 8 years old and we had moved from Long Island to Albany, New York. So like a 4 hour difference, not too far away, but for an 8 year old, it was like dramatic. And so I was dealing with a lot of anxiety going on at the time. I had been dealing with my grandmother who had passed away, and that was the first person I lost in my life, and just like genetic anxiety. My family suffers from anxiety all the way around. And we moved up here, and obviously, you know, I was in third grade and I didn't really have any friends yet. And my parents just wanted me to get into something. I tried softball. I ran the wrong way on the bases and like was a complete disaster. And I quit within like 2 days of practicing. I was like, this is it. I'm done. We're not doing this. And my parents were super cool with that. They never pushed me to do anything I didn't want to do, but they wanted me to do something. So they found this yoga class and it was through the town park. And they were like, you know what? Like, do you want to try this yoga thing? And I'm like, I don't even know what yoga is. I'm like 8 years old. Like, what the heck is yoga? And I was like, yeah, sure. Let's do it. And, you know, I'm not going to glorify it and say that, you know, from day one, it's been like this magical thing that changed my life forever. But over time, it was just something that gave me confidence. I feel like confidence that I knew how to do something, and community too, which now as I'm older in my adult life, I'm realizing how important that was at the time and how important it is now. And it changed my life, seriously.
That is so cool. So how did it change your life? Because you started so young and then you were able to kind of transition into it now as your career. Like, how has it changed your life and impacted you, not just mentally and emotionally, but kind of your wellness? So I guess touch on all the bases.
Yeah, no, seriously. So I would definitely say when I first started, when I was a kid, we, you know, kids yoga, we played kids games and, you know, we did breathing exercises, but I didn't necessarily know what was happening. It was just a thing for me to do on Thursday nights. My parents dropped me off and I hung out with my yoga friends. And I did that for about 4 years. And then I was old enough where I couldn't be in kids yoga anymore. And I always had it in my back pocket. So I always knew, again, that going back to that confidence, I always knew that I was able to go to a yoga class. I always knew what I was familiar with the poses. I felt confident doing that, which I think is one of the hardest things getting into yoga, is just feeling confident even going to a class. So I had that in my back pocket. However, I moved on to, you know, track and field. I played volleyball for a little while, and I would say I kind of disconnected from practicing yoga regularly. I actually got made fun of a lot in school for doing yoga when I was younger, because people were like, you know, when you'd go around and ask what you did, I'd be like, oh yeah, my sport is yoga. And people would be like, that's not a sport. What are you talking about? And I always rocked it. I was like, whatever, like, you guys are stupid, yoga is. And I just kind of was like, whatever about it. And so I guess now, like, moving forward, like, I totally got off track there. Sorry about that. But I feel like now moving forward, like, in my life as a career, it has given me such a purpose, and it has allowed me to fall in love over and over and over again. And it's really given me value to my life, and it's allowed me to touch other people's lives, but also be connected with myself. And I think that's, you know, when I got into my yoga teacher training, and finding the perfect yoga teacher training was difficult, because there are so many out there nowadays, right? There's so many different certifications you can take. And I took about a year to find what I actually wanted to do. And I found a yoga teacher training, which is called Jai Yoga School, and actually teach there now. Incredible. But this training was all about connecting the mental and the physical, and really focusing on the ancient practices of yoga, and not just, you know, yoga just being a fad and being this like physical thing that we do. There's just so much more to it. And this training was all about taking yourself out of the center in order to serve other people. But in order to do that, you had to understand yourself so much and really kind of put your stuff aside in order to authentically be able to serve other people, like, from who you are, if that makes sense.
It does, definitely. And what was some of the things you had to work through, since you had to know yourself so intimately in order to be able to teach it?
Yeah. So it was actually the perfect time that I did my yoga training. I was 19. So I was in my sophomore year of college. I had just gone through a really horrible breakup, and my first real relationship, we can say, was very unhealthy, very abusive. And that was definitely like something that I had to work through throughout, you know, that training. And it was just the perfect time of my life for that to have to happen, because I was dealing with trust, not only trust in, you know, relationships, but trust that everything was going to be okay. You know, I'm a sophomore in college. I have no idea what I wanted to do with my life. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I was still studying psychology in college, and there was just no direction for me. So I had to work with the fact that sometimes you don't know what the future is going to be, but kind of being comfortable with the uncomfortable and comfortable with the unknown, really. And that was huge for me.
That is so cool. I love that, because it's something that we still face as being coaches, and that we face as being on our own fitness journeys, that we have this vision for ourselves, but we don't understand what the end goal is going to look like exactly.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's so hard to like place it there. So I'm dying to know, what are some of like the common yoga misconceptions that drive you nuts that you would love to dispel?
Oh my goodness. Where do I start? Well, number one, my biggest thing is that it is not just a physical practice. And actually, this past couple of weeks really tested me with that personally, with my own teaching and my own studies of yoga. So I injured my knee recently, and it was just like this crazy infection in my knee. Long story short, it was nuts. But I couldn't walk for about a week comfortably at all. And I couldn't do any physical activity for 3 weeks. And I always knew that there was more to a physical practice, but I was never forced to not have that physical practice at all. So I was really like digging deep into my materials, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's this breathing technique that I can exert my energy with. And I was able to actually practice all the things that I teach to people, but actually feel it for myself. So I think that's like the biggest misconception, is that yoga is a physical practice and there's nothing to it. Also, people don't realize that yoga is thousands of years old. I think that that's something people think, that yoga was like invented on Instagram, and it wasn't. Ancient. It's such an ancient tool that people used. And I think that that needs to be seen and understood.
Gotcha. So if somebody is new to yoga and they hear about all these different types of yoga, where would you direct them to look for information to start, besides a coach, and also to not be too overwhelmed?
Yeah, that is I'd say, because yoga is very intimidating, and I'll be the first one to admit it. Even sometimes when I'm going to a studio that I've never been to or a teacher I've never been to, I'm still intimidated sometimes. And I would say, always tell people that you have to treat yoga like you're dating. You have to date different instructors. You have to go to different studios, just really get a feel for what you like and what you don't like. And I also recommend people checking out like YouTube videos, or there's actually this website. It's, can't remember if it's yogainternational.com or internationalyoga.com, but it's one of the two. And they have, you know, blog entries on end, and they have a bunch of like free yoga videos that are absolutely amazing. So some people might not be comfortable with going right to a studio right away, or financially, sometimes studios are expensive. And I tell them, like, there are these really great resources online that you can watch these videos, even if you're just watching it just to get familiar with it and then going to a class. But I think it's all about experimenting and finding what you like, because there are so many different types of yoga and so many different styles. And I say, don't give up after, you know, if you go to one class and it's not good or not what you expected necessarily, or you don't feel safe in that class, it doesn't mean that that's the way yoga is. You know what I mean? You have to still try other things. I guarantee that if you're interested in yoga, you will find something that clicks with you and connects with you, just like anything else.
Gotcha. And all that information she just said will be in the description box, so nobody panic.
Awesome.
And, so I have another question. So you talked, it's a lot about dating, and what should they look for? How should they feel when they're in class? How do they know if they're in a good fit?
That's such a good question. I would say you should absolutely feel safe and supported, and that you can trust the person that you're being taught by. And I think that's something that I want all of my students to feel when they come to my class is, you know, you can ask me questions, you can interrupt me when I'm teaching and be like, this doesn't make sense, or this is painful, or I want to help people. And I think that that's what you should feel when you go to a class. You shouldn't feel like you're being judged, or, you know, you should feel like you're being challenged physically and maybe even mentally and emotionally too, but not to the point where you're being abused or like taken advantage of or anything of that sort. You should feel very safe. And even if you're crying and breaking down, and you should still feel like you're in a safe place and you're being held and supported. And I think that that's something that I've even not felt going to some classes over the years. And it's a horrible, horrible feeling. And I would hate for people to feel that way.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. I know that's something when I first started, even starting to practice yoga, was to really understand, what am I looking for? I don't even know what direction to look at. And I would agree completely. Is like, when I did go to a class, I wanted somebody that would be like, oh, that's not quite right for you, let's tweak it, kind of thing.
Yes.
So that way you can be in the best position for your body, because just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean that it's right for you still.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I have another question. I'm full of questions today.
Also, I love it.
Questions. So what should somebody do when they're starting their yoga practice? Do you, especially somebody that may be scared of going to like a class at first, what would you recommend for them to do? You mentioned videos, but is there like, should they do like a basic flow? What is a flow? All that jazz.
I would definitely look for key beginner words. I always tell my students that too. So gentle yoga, or gentle vinyasa, gentle flow, beginner, foundations, just those like kind of keywords. It's like, okay, this is going to be a slower or more informational class. Avoid the strong vinyasa and like the power, whatever, core strength or whatever, you know, like those are probably going to be faster paced. And I think that it's really important in the beginning to just understand what your body's doing and how you're moving. I'd also say be comfortable with like being like, what the heck am I doing? Because it feels kind of weird. And I think that's something I take for granted as a teacher sometimes, because I'm so used to practicing over the years, is like when you first get into like downward facing dog or any sort of pose, it feels different because your body's doing something that it's never done before. Similar to if you're lifting weights for the first time, it's just like, what am I doing? It feels really awkward. Mm-hmm. And I'd always recommend like, be okay with that. And I definitely, so it's interesting because I can't think of like a standard flow that you should be doing as a beginner. However, I would definitely just say, like, stick to those key beginners, or stick to, like, maybe even Google, like, basic sun salutation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. So how has yoga transformed your wellness journey for yourself? And what about that journey would you want other people to understand?
I think that yoga has allowed me to be the person I am and to seriously be okay with being the person I am. And be, again, like going back to that confidence thing, it's just the study of yoga is really the study of the self. At least that's the way that I think about it. And it's like every single thing that we do is bringing us closer to who we truly are as a person, because essentially that's what you're trying to find, is like that bliss point at the end. Like, this is who I am, and really owning it. And I think that that's really what it's given me over the years, is just owning who I am. And this is like the perfect podcast to be on, because it's really like being unapologetically who you are and who you're meant to be in this world. It's made me a very empathetic person. And that's something that I'm so, so grateful for. It's allowed me to connect with people in ways that I've never thought that I possibly could. And my whole point of teaching yoga when I started, well, it's actually funny, because my whole point of going to school for psychology was to become a therapist, because I wanted to help people the way that my therapist had helped me over the years. And then once I kind of found how significant yoga was in helping my life more than just the physical stuff, I started realizing I want to help people like that. Like, I want to serve people through the yoga practice. And that's how I really started teaching, was just connecting with people the way that my teachers have connected with me over the years. And it's just made me so empathetic towards people, but also empathetic towards myself, which has been life-changing, to say the least.
Yeah, because we are our own worst critic, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very much so. So tell me a little bit about your fitness journey. Did you count macros? Did you lift weights? Do you still lift weights? Do you only do yoga? Because I know for me, a lot of people are like, we'll dive in and only do one thing versus being like really diverse in how they move. Yeah. Or so I want to know a little bit more about how that looks for you.
I love to do everything. I love lifting. Actually, my boyfriend's a power lifter. So especially in the past like year and a half of us dating, that's been infused into my life more than it ever has before. However, even like before meeting him, I was going to the gym. I remember like, so my fitness journey, I would say, started when I was probably like 16 or 17 years old. It was when I was in that very toxic relationship and I was very unhealthy mentally, very unhealthy physically. And I remember one time my mom being like, you need to, you know, just giving me the cold, hard truth and just that, you know, that tough love that moms love to give. And she was like, you need to help yourself. You need to serve yourself. You're not serving yourself at all. And I remember obviously taking that very defensively at the time, being 16 or 17 years old, but taking it. And I went to the gym, I signed up for a gym membership, and I don't even remember what I was doing back then. At the time, I did like a lot of cardio, probably cardio. And I started lifting weights as the years went on, you know, once I started being informed that lifting weights is really good for you and how awesome it is. So I definitely believe in like a lifestyle of doing both. And it's actually funny because I teach this one class called Foundations, and it's literally just the foundations of yoga, the fundamental pieces, and really breaking it down. It's almost like a yoga Q&A. It's very interactive. And I have them lifting weights in some of them. I show them these exercises because I strongly believe that the yoga practice and some sort of strength training goes hand in hand. And I think that I've seen it firsthand of how much my lifting has impacted my yoga and how much my yoga has impacted my lifting, as well as my running. It's just, it all ties in together beautifully when they're practiced. It's difficult to find the balance sometimes. Don't get me wrong. I feel like there are some weeks where I'm like, I'm only going to lift this week because I'm so into lifting. And then there's some weeks where I'm like, I just want to do yoga and that's it. And I just kind of let myself find the balance eventually as time goes on. But I enjoy doing everything. As far as nutrition goes, I actually stopped counting macros, I'd say about 6 months ago, but I was counting macros for a year really strictly. And that was interesting. I don't really even know why I was doing it. I didn't necessarily have, you know, a fitness goal per se, but I just wanted to know what I was eating and what I was putting into my body. I didn't know how much food was a lot and how much food wasn't a lot, or what a protein was, carbs, fats. Like, I didn't know any of this. So that year was really significant for my life. I don't think I'd ever go back to counting macros, but it helped me a lot for now as I'm intuitively eating, understanding what I'm putting into my body.
Mm-hmm. So it was like a learning curve. And even if nobody does it long-term, even just a short amount of time, it was a learning experience that you think maybe Absolutely. Other people should do as well?
Absolutely. I definitely think that it's, you know, cause I, you know, it was tough because I was not, I got to a point where I was kind of obsessive over it, which I don't think was healthy. And I think that if I was guided by someone else, then I would have had a little bit more structure. I was really just kind of doing it myself and kind of guessing what, you know, what I was supposed to be doing. So if I look back, I would definitely say maybe hire a coach or just get some professional feedback instead of just kind of winging it, because I became so obsessive because I didn't really know what I was doing and there was no guidance or control.
Gotcha. And so you felt like you needed that outside, you know, feedback in order to keep you from going into that obsessive state, you think?
Exactly. Or letting me know, like, and kind of putting me in my place of what my goal was. You know what I mean? It's not like I was ever stepping onto a stage, but I was treating it as if I was going to. And even like the numbers that I was hitting were just not okay. So I just needed someone to be like, no, don't do that.
Gotcha. That makes perfect sense. What would you say to somebody that's like, I can't afford a coach?
Ooh, I would say, well, first of all, there are so many valuable resources out there nowadays, like between Instagram, even just using the Instagram platform, podcasts, YouTube. There are so many free resources out there to educate yourself. And that's actually what I did. That's how I found Amanda Bucci, actually, was through her like YouTube videos. And I calculated like my macros using her ebook. And I mean, the ebook wasn't free, but you know what I'm saying? Like I found these resources to utilize that I can follow, but not necessarily have to pay a bunch of money for. And it was still very valuable to me.
Gotcha. So pay what you can afford. And then if, you know, you can always like exercise that muscle and like helping yourself kind of thing.
Exactly.
Very cool. I love that. So you've talked a lot about being true to who you are and how yoga has really touched on that through this conversation. And did you like in your time, like in school maybe, or now, did you have like peer pressures that challenged that? And you talked about being made fun of in school for doing yoga. How did you eventually get over all those peer pressures and just start really just owning that space?
I think when I realized how happy it made me to just be who I am, because especially being in college was not easy for me because I feel like I never fit in. I was like, my freshman year was fun. You know, everyone's freshman year is fun. And I'd go out drinking and do all these crazy things. And it was actually sophomore year came around and my best friend and I had an apartment. My best friend and I are very similar. And it was helpful to have her because we went on this similar journey together of realizing that what everyone else is doing wasn't what we wanted to be doing. And I specifically remember it was sophomore year, Halloween, and my best friend Julie and I were out and we're like, we just like looked at each other and we were like, what are we doing? Like, this is just like not what we want to be doing. I want to go home. I want to go sit on the couch. I'd rather be watching movies and like be able to wake up tomorrow morning and go to the gym and have a productive day. So I think that once I started realizing the lifestyle that I wanted to live would make me happier, nothing else really mattered anymore. I didn't have a problem saying, no, I don't want to go out on this Saturday night or this Friday night, but it still was very difficult, especially like my last 2 years of college. I lived with three girls and it was super fun. And we pretty much had similar living habits. But it was difficult when they were going out sometimes. And I was like, what excuse do I find tonight to not want to go out? But like I said, you just kind of own it. And I think also finding people in your life that respect your decisions, because I have friends who love to go out and, you know, have a different lifestyle maybe that I don't live right now. However, they're not down my throat about it. And they're understanding like, this is what Sabrina likes to do. Sabrina likes to go to bed at 9 o'clock at night on a Saturday, and that's okay. So it's finding that support group that supports what you're doing, supporting what they do too, because they're not doing anything wrong by liking to socialize.
Gotcha. Or socialize in that manner.
Yes. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So what did you do to kind of connect to yourself with those people that supported you or kind of build that tribe?
I would say, it's tough because college kind of forced me to do that just because I was living with people that, you know, thankfully it just worked out. The people I lived with were amazing. I would say just finding the time to connect with people, doing something that maybe both of you like to do. So I know like a bunch of girls and I are in a book club and we meet and we have like self-help books that we like to read, which is like really, has been like really awesome to meet people who are interested in the same things. I would say just building that connection of people that like to do similar things around you, or maybe not necessarily want to do similar things around you, but finding the time, you know, my friends that, maybe like to go out or like to be out later, whatever, we'll get brunch in the morning. And it's like, we still make that time for each other to enjoy each other's company, if that makes sense. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, definitely. There's no right or wrong answer. It's just sharing our perspective for sure. So we're kind of going toward to the end of the podcast, but there's a couple of things I kind of want to touch on. And you've mentioned that yoga has given you so many things to your life over time. What do you think is the best thing yoga has ever given you?
Overall, I would say my purpose, because I was so lost in what I was doing. And even when I started teaching, I didn't think that I was going to be able to make this a full-time thing. I didn't think that this was going to be able to be my life. And it has given me a deep purpose. And even, you know, this is kind of going off topic, but I think it'll stay on topic. So I think of yoga like as being in love, right? So I have never understood what this is. I have never understood what true love really was until I fell deeply in love with my practice. But that being said, it's not always, I don't want to say it's not always fun, but it's not always easy. It's not always easy to go teach a class. There are some days where maybe I'm feeling low energy. I didn't sleep well the night before, or I'm having, you know, external things that are happening in my life. However, regardless, I'm still showing up and I'm still bringing who I am. And it's just allowed me to realize like, wow, I really love what I'm doing. And I never even imagined that that was possible. And some days it's weird because I'll go to work and I'm like, should I be loving my job this much? Because I dealt with school for so long, and in school, I just hated every single minute of it, but you know, you just work through it. And it was a really weird thing that happened in college. I was actually in this horrible rut for a couple of months because I almost felt like I was supposed to hate what I was doing because I was so used to hating what I was doing. And I was like that, you know, once I finally sat myself down and organized that in my head, I was like, this is incredible that you love what you do. But the thing is, it doesn't feel like work to me. So I'm like, am I working? Am I making a living? Is this okay that I'm doing this? And almost feeling like guilty for loving what you do. But I realized over time, like, this is freaking awesome that you're doing this.
Oh, that is amazing. And that's one of the things that I struggled with, was allowing myself to be happy and realize it was okay to love what I did this much. Yes. You know, because everything we hear from social media and online and TV shows is that people hate their jobs. They just to pay the bills and then they go release on the weekends. And then Monday comes around. That's like, oh my God, we're back to work. Blah, blah, blah.
I know.
Ugh. No.
Well, and it's like, I have structured my weeks recently to have Thursday and Friday be my weekend. I think that's very, very important, especially when you're in such a job of service. You know, you're expending so much energy constantly. And it's like, I don't think about like even, you know, Wednesday night, and I actually tell my Wednesday night class this because I teach at 7:30 at night and that's my last class of the week. And I tell them like, this is, you know, I'm not dreading my last hour of work for the week. This is amazing. And I have so much fun with it. And I think of those 2 days off as just recharging me. And I think that's what it should be. It's recharging you. You get to spend time with your loved ones, but it's not like, oh, I get a break from my job, thank God. And it's not like I'm already thinking about having to go to work in 2 days. And it's amazing. And it's incredible. And I'm like, that isn't that what it should be for everyone, really? It's just recharging. That's all it is.
Yeah. And I agree. I think people don't give themselves permission to find what fills their cup, or give themselves permission to be happy with what they're doing, you know, and realize that it's always not sunshine and rainbows and butterflies and unicorns, that there's going to be, you're not going to be happier. It's going to be challenging, but you can be happy, or you can change your job if you don't like it. I mean, it's
exactly,
you always have a choice.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Oh, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. That makes me so happy.
You're welcome.
So where can everybody find you on social media or connect with you?
So I would definitely say my Instagram platform is where I spend the most time. So it is just my full name, which my last name is definitely a little bit of a doozy. So we might have to write that out. It's Sabrina Boniuto. And I have a website that's kind of under construction right now, because I was blogging for a little bit. You can still check the blog posts out. They're there. But it's a little silent right now, but there's still some good stuff on there, and that's essencelife.net. Or if you are ever in the Albany area, I always update my schedule on there too, as far as my teaching classes go, and you can connect with me, email me, whatever on there too.
Cool. And that's Albany, New York. So
yes,
everybody is in line, because there's a couple of other states that have an Albany.
Yep.
Okay, last and final question, girly, and I can hardly wait to hear this answer, is if you could tell anybody on how to be unapologetically themselves from your experience, what would you share with them?
Be unapologetically yourself. I would say a lot of it has to do with being intuitive and understanding what you like and what you don't like. And that's a huge process in relationships, in work, in love, in hobbies. I would say just find what you intuitively love to do, what connects with you, even as simple as what you like to eat or where you like to spend your time, like where you like to take your walks or something. I think that when you understand who you are, there's nothing else that can come in between that, because it's almost like you're your best friend and you know yourself so much that literally nothing else matters. And you're able to say, like, this is who I am. And I'm intuitive to what I like to do. I'm intuitive to who I am. And not even just that, because again, like you said, it's not always sunshine and rainbows. Understanding how you face challenges and how you deal with challenges and get through them, and just finding gratitude too for every single thing that has happened to you and every single thing that has transformed you. Definitely gratitude practice has helped me so much, because there are definitely parts of my life that weren't easy and aren't going to be easy moving forward, because, you know, it ebbs and it flows. But finding that gratitude for, okay, what can I learn from this? What can I learn from every single situation in order to connect closer to who I truly am?
Oh gosh. Like, truth bombs right now. Love it. Awesome.
So good.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. Y'all, please tag us listening to this podcast and let us know what you enjoyed. And don't hesitate to hit up Miss Sabrina on
IG.
Awesome. Thank y'all for listening.
Thank you.
Wasn't that episode just freaking amazeballs? Sabrina is such a powerhouse, and I am so grateful to know her. And I hope you found so many nuggets of information in this podcast, and that you can take these and apply these to your life, especially if you're deciding you want to pursue yoga or you're trying to build confidence in yourself. Please feel free to follow both of us on Instagram. Her handle is Sabrina Bonito, and it's in the description, but I'm going to spell it for you. So Sabrina is S-A-B-R-I-N-A, no spaces, no hashtags or anything, B-O-N-A-I-U-T-O. I know I just struggle bust that. But it will be in the description if you want to go follow her on Instagram. And then my handle is Kelsey Lane Fitness. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, so that way you never miss an episode and miss me tumbling over my words. But I hope you found this podcast helpful. So I'm so grateful for you taking time to listen to it, and I will catch y'all in the next episode. Bye.